Welcome to Agency Nation Radio Podcast, powered by the Big I and Trusted Choice, where we ask insurance professionals to turn up the mic and share successes and challenges, stories that made them the professionals they are today. I'm your host, Toni Jones, Senior Vice President of Transportation Marketing at Palomar Insurance Corporation and a former member of the Big I National Young Agents Committee. Today, we're going to talk about finding and homing in on a niche. To explore this topic, I'm joined by three superstar independent agents who each have a specific niche in the insurance industry. First, we have Ryan Tubner, producer at Rich & Cartmill. He comes from a long line of insurance professionals, and he has a niche in construction. Second, we have Crystal Fox, founder and creator of Beauty Queen Insurance. She has a special niche in med spas and salons and all things beauty, which is really cool, if I can say. And then lastly, we have my friend Lydia Ramos, account manager and regional brand coordinator at McGriff. She's also the VP of LAAIA in Denver. And like me, Lydia specializes in transportation and trucking. And she also works in mining, which I am excited to hear more about. So thank you everyone for joining me today. Lydia, let's start with you. I, as I previously mentioned, also specialize in transportation and trucking. And I made my way into this completely by happenstance. I started at a local independent agency as a marketing assistant, thinking that I was getting into public relations. And that's not at all what marketing is in an independent retail agency. So yeah, that was a fast learning curve I had to go through. But I found that I loved it. And the agency that I joined just so happened to do 95% trucking for hire. So I was immersed in this world of truckers and learning the lingo. And I was really blessed to have so much expertise right there for me to learn from and grow from. So it's not that I sought out trucking. I just kind of landed in it. And when you're at an agency that specializes in it, you're going to do it. You're going to learn it and you're going to, you know, jump in there and get your hands dirty. So it's been a blessing for me and my family. It's allowed me to grow and be the success that I am today. So I'm very, very grateful for that. But tell me, what was your story? How did you end up in trucking?
Yeah. Thanks, Toni. I am, it's kind of similar because I got into an agency when I was in Houston. Actually, the very first agent that I worked for, the first producer that I worked for that got me into commercial insurance, he specialized in like oil and gas, trucking, and then he had a lot of C-stores all over Houston. So this was in Houston, Texas, where I started. And it was very similar. That's what he already did. So I was kind of already immersed in it. And in Houston in particular, a lot of the truckers and the trucking owners and the independent drivers, they were, a lot of them were Spanish speaking. A lot of them, it was a lot of the Latino community. And so obviously that resonated with me. We're from the same culture. We had the same, you know, kind of upbringing. And so it, you know, it really brought me closer to that industry and wanting to understand the risks and the exposures they were facing. Being in a coastal, you know, I was in Houston, it's tier one, tier two coastal counties. So, you know, hurricane country, and just seeing the things that these guys had to deal with and all of the different stuff that went in, you know, to the risk management and mitigation. It just kept my mind engaged for sure. There was never not something to learn. And then obviously with mining, I kind of just got lucky. I met Ivy last year at the Big I where you and I met. And we had like a brief conversation about how maybe I wasn't really where I needed to be. And, you know, obviously she brought me over to McGriff last year and it's been a great run there. And I just happened to land in a place where that's what we do. We do mining. And then, you know, with the large equipment that we deal with in mining, obviously that plays into the transportation. There's a lot of cargo. A lot of it is international. So just knowing all the different, you know, aspects of what goes into that for transportation, it really is very helpful for the mining sector. So it was just kind of a natural progression, but I didn't really seek any of it either. Like, I know what you mean. Like, it wasn't like I was like, oh, I need to go and do trucking. Like, it's, you know, I fell into it and then I really kind of just, you know, enjoyed the policy forms and the risks and the exposures and research. Cause that's, I love, you know, case studies and stuff. I'm a weirdo.
No, you're not a weirdo. You're just an insurance nerd like the rest of us. I mean, maybe we're all weirdos and we just don't know it. Well, I love hearing that for you about your whole experience. I think, I think we're probably going to all have similar things where we're just kind of, here we are, you know, one thing led to another, one door closed, another opened, and here we are. So, you know, it's really fun to hear everybody's stories. Ryan, tell me about you and construction and how you wound up being the king of contractors.
Great question. When I first started in our agency, my grandpa was the chairman of the board at that time. So when I came in, he said, you need to pay attention to Travis Brown, who was in our Oklahoma City office. We have a Tulsa and Oklahoma City office, and I was in our Oklahoma City office. He said, you do everything he says to do, you pay attention to him. Well, he did only contract. That's all he did. So, and if you look, as I came in, when I looked at all the bigger producers, they all did a contract with the bonding, with the big premiums. That's all they did. So I was thinking, might as well. Plus, I like being with contractors because I'm now understanding it. I understand the different forms of endorsements and what you look for, what you don't look for, what you know, want in a policy. The bonding is interesting as well, too. Plus, I don't have to wear a suit and tie. I hate wearing suits and ties. It drives me nuts. So I like wearing my boots and jeans and shirts and go about my business. They're more laid back. I'm more laid back. So it just was a natural fit. And plus, I just wanted to pay attention to my grandpa and do what he said. So that's how I got in to my niche focus in construction. While I do other things, I really, when I'm going out and about, I'm focusing in on construction.
Well, Ryan, it's important to listen to your grandpa. That's really the moral
of the
story.
That's what I figured, too.
He's going to point you in the right direction at all times.
He's got that years of experience and wisdom. Might as well take it.
That's right. And your wardrobe sounds like you could fit in with Lydia and I with these truckers. I mean, like, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing I hate doing is truck.
It's not for everybody.
Drives me crazy.
It's not for everybody. Now, Crystal, we're not going to leave you out. You are definitely more glam than what we do. That's for sure. But tell us all about the beauty industry. For the listeners who might have missed you on Declaration of Independence, where you talked about your experience getting into the beauty industry and becoming the queen of all things beauty. Fill us in. Let us know all about that and how you got into this.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me back and thinking about me to be on this episode. I'm excited to be back and share more of my story. So, Beauty Queen is really a product because of COVID, really. I was in the beauty industry for about 15 years before becoming an insurance agent and being in this industry. And I started at the agency that I'm at now, Smith Sawyer Smith, in claims. And, you know, at that point, you know, COVID, we were about 6 months in. I wasn't sure if my previous position, I was an account rep for a cosmetics company for Indiana. I traveled a lot to Sephora's and Ulta's and did makeup and educated and trained for how to sell makeup, how to apply it. But during COVID, obviously, no one's traveling wearing makeup and no one really wants you in their face doing makeup. So I kind of had to pivot. And this opportunity presented itself at the agency, and I started in claims. And after a couple of months of being in claims, it kind of dawned on me, can we write med spas and have beauty policies? And having kind of the back door to the industry, I really got a grasp as to what the agency could write and what a lot of their businesses were. And I didn't see a lot of beauty policies. So I just had this idea. I'm like, can I marry my passion that I'm used to, that I love in the beauty industry with insurance? And that's how Beauty Queen was created. I just went to one of the agency principals and asked if we can write med spas. And here we are almost 3 years later to the day that we wrote our first policy.
I love that. I love your story. And I love how it says that anybody can get into insurance with any background, really at any time, if you have the desire to learn and put yourself out there. This is an industry that will accept you young and out of high school, young and out of college. You're established and you have a career and you need to have a change of pace. Like, you can get into this industry whenever. Mm-hmm. And you are living proof that you can be a success at it. I mean, Beauty Queen Insurance, you've developed your own niche that I don't know many people or anybody really that does what you're doing. So I think that's amazing.
Well, thank you.
So let's see. Lydia, I know that we talked about how you built up your expertise and your knowledge of trucking and transportation by way of the expertise in you, that's around you within your agency. That has been really beneficial to you. But I'm sure as a younger person and a fellow young agent, it must have been a little bit challenging to get into this. And people look at you as, like, you know, she doesn't know much. She's a young agent. How have you been able to combat all of that and rise to the challenge and be a success story?
Education, for one. I am one of those people that, you know, I barely graduated high school, much less college, no college at all. I really just got into an office by chance, just kind of landed in an office, and then realized that I really like policy forms and I enjoyed just working with underwriters, and then I started bugging them, right? So in the beginning of my insurance story, you know, it was very, it's not traditional. It's not, you know, there's not a lot of people around me in now in this part of insurance that, you know, have a similar story, unfortunately, but, and maybe fortunately, I don't know. But education for sure. Like, I went out of my way to learn about trucking and to learn about what the guys were going through and what that industry was just facing in general, which is something that I do with insurance as well. You know, like with both of them, it's just going out of my way to learn about that particular industry. And for me, I think even as a younger person, building relationships is really important to me. So when I think about connecting with people and reaching out, I don't think, oh, look, I have this great big network. I think, wow, I have so many friends, you know, because it's, you know, these are people that I can call and ask for favors and, you know, just ask how their day is doing. And, you know, I've just built this amazing insurance family, and a lot of them have helped in their own rights to just help with that. So I think building relationships that are really meaningful and not just connecting with everybody and, you know, just educating yourself, really getting to know the industry that you're trying to be in and getting to understand what those people are facing.
I think that's perfect advice, and being members of the Big I and other organizations are absolutely, they will set you up for success. If you had an account across your desk that wasn't transportation focused and you needed maybe to rely on a different person or different aspect to get somewhere, you know, people that you can call. There's always somebody you can call, and they're always willing to lend a helping hand. As long as you're not a direct competitor, everybody's open to. Yeah.
And because I had to look for education in a different way, because I really didn't, you know, in the beginning of my career, I think that's why I'm so involved in some associations, is because I really had to go and look for everything. Like, there was nobody there to say, hey, this is what you need to do, and this is who you need to meet. Like, that didn't happen for me until I was in, you know, my mid 30s. So, that's why associations for me are so important, because, you know, young people in the next generation and making sure that we have that talent continually flowing into the industry, those kind of things are super important to me. So I do, you know, I'm always advocating for association involvement.
You're VP of an association right now. I mean, you've got that covered. Now, we're not going to leave you out, Ryan. We know you've never worked in construction, and we know that you also have had within your agency a lot of great positive role models who have been able to assist you learn the construction industry. Outside of that, how did you increase your construction knowledge?
I think it's just in immersing yourself into that industry, into the trade associations, and to asking questions. You know, I'm still learning to this day of different ways to structure a policy or different things to look for. And I've been in business 14 years. So I think it's one thing that you never stop learning. You never stop asking questions. You never stop being involved in something, whether it's the Big I or the trade associations. Rich and Cartmel is probably the biggest agency in Oklahoma for sure, and possibly the region when it comes to construction and bonding. About 35-40% of our revenue is from construction. So we know that. And there's roughly 18 to 20 guys in our construction group throughout the Tulsa, Oklahoma City practice that we can turn to and ask for help and get that mentorship. which is nice. I mean, it's helped me out for sure. And then touching on what you guys were talking about, the big I, that I agree is extremely important for young agents to be involved in your state association and the big I, because you build those relationships across the country. When I was coming up through the ranks with the state and the national, the amount of relationships I've built and still have to this day is fantastic. You know, from Will and Lisa in Michigan to guys in Georgia like Robbie and Jared. I mean, it's fantastic. And that's what I've done to help me out, is just immersing myself within those industries and trade association.
I think that's excellent advice for anybody. I mean, since we all have a similar path, we all are doing similar things within our various niches to be successful and to learn and be abreast of changing things that are happening in the market for our clients. So I think we all have somewhat figured out a little bit of the secret recipe to make this thing work for us. So those are all the positive things, but I'll tell you, right now, the market is tough. Being in a niche can sometimes be a strength, but it can sometimes be a weakness if certain sectors of the economy or the insurance market face challenges, such as the dreaded hard market. How is each of your niches weathering the hard market, and how are you addressing that with your clients? And anybody, feel free to chime in on this.
I think on the construction side specifically, I mean, if you got a client that has a lot of autos, well, clearly autos are going. So that kind of sucks to say, hey, yo, sorry, your auto premium is going to go from X amount to way X amount. And you're getting like a 50, 100% increase. And I know you haven't had any claims, but that's just the way it is. I'm sorry. For my client specifically, and what we're seeing within the construction industry, is not a lot of them have a lot of property, but luckily with at least my clients, the auto premiums are what's driving. Work comp is fine. The general liability, not bad. You see exposure increases, but for us, that auto is not cool. That's just the way it is for us. And so you try to combat that by marketing it out and seeing if we can do other options with carving out the auto maybe, or negotiating rates, things like that. But specific to at least my book, that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, and for the beauty industry, we're pretty limited for med spas, permanent makeup, where we can quote, where we can go. And I think we've been really lucky with our renewals. I haven't seen huge increases like some of the other markets have for premiums at renewal. There is a slight renewal regardless of claims or not, but typically it's on the lower side. And we've been really lucky that I haven't had too many of those conversations to explain what a hard market is and why that premium increased. But still, a lot of my insureds, they have a smaller business. They don't bring in a lot. They might just need general liability, professional liability. They might not even need business personal property, but maybe it's a side business. So it's part-time, and it typically doesn't matter full-time, part-time. The premium is based on the services. So that's where it gets a little tricky, where I, explain, you might only do this part-time, limited hours a month or a week, but the premium would be the same whether it was full-time. But as far as that goes, it hasn't been difficult, and we've been really lucky so far, knock on wood, that our premiums haven't increased like a lot of the other markets have.
Yeah, and as far as mining and trucking, Tony, I'm sure you know, with the larger fleets and...
Nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I mean, with mining too, I guess because it's usually such established, large, it's a lot of big policies and they just stack on top of each other. And so because they're already like that, like it's already super complicated as it is, there hasn't been a lot of change. I mean, it really hasn't been too hard on that industry. So the part of trucking that I do really hasn't seen, I mean, we've seen premium increases like everyone else, but you know, it's going from like 700,000 to 720, like they're, you know, we're not seeing the same kind of increases. And I don't know if that's just because of what we do. I'm sure it has to do with the rates and things like that. But, you know, similarly to what Ryan said, it's just not, it hasn't been super difficult on this. And I wonder if that's like a niche thing now, because I was wondering if I was going to be the only one that's like, well, that much, as much as maybe other industries. I think, like, because, you know, property and homeowners, that's mm-hmm. been impacted by that. And, you know, I don't do that.
Well, I guess we'll not talk about the hard market anymore, because everyone talks about it enough. It's here, and we just have to deal with it. We have to educate our insured. Yeah.
And pretend like it doesn't exist and move on.
We can't. We try. We can't. And everything's cyclical, so it won't be hard forever. We just have to deal with it, muddle through, and it will eventually improve. Mm-hmm. That's the promise.
It's all cyclical.
Yes.
I mean, everything is cyclical. So, you know, up here in Oklahoma, your work comp, we have so much work comp competition up here with carriers riding. It's pretty nice from a comp perspective.
Well, guys, I wanted to end this by just asking if you had one piece of advice you would give to someone who wants to dive into a niche, and how you'd suggest they get started doing it. Crystal, you can start.
Okay. I would say make sure you are passionate about that industry. Make sure you, I think that comes through when you're talking to prospects, when you're talking to insureds. I think your passion for their business and their industry comes through just because you like it too. Also make sure that you not only like it, but you understand it. So in the beauty industry, there's so many different services that sound the same. You can have microblading, microcurrent, microchanneling, microneedling. They are all different things. So you want to make sure you have an agent who understands those are different and that your policy covers those services that you need. I've seen so many other agents write a policy for not knowing they were writing it for permanent makeup, and the policy excluded permanent makeup. So that's a conversation when you ask the people, you know, to look at someone's current policy, and you have to say, well, it doesn't cover what you're offering. So yes, technically you're insured, but if you have a claim A, it probably won't be covered. B, if it is, not only will they probably cancel you, now you have to go somewhere else and tell them you have a claim. So having that conversation, of course, that premium is going to be higher too. So just make sure if you start somewhere, you love the industry, you're passionate about it, you understand it. And I think you're real, you know, just being relatable with anyone, like likes like. So if you like who you're talking to, you know, I've had a lot of people who had premiums where it was $300 and then it went up to $1,500 because they were accurately insured. But they're like, I trust you, you know my business, you understand me. So I'm okay paying more because I know I have an agent who understands my business.
Amen. Amen. What I got from you, the most important thing is know what you're selling, understand the exposures, or else you're going to be sitting and having an entirely different conversation the moment a claim happens and they don't have the insurance that they paid for, and you're sitting
right
with an E&O on your back.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Yeah. That's, I always, anytime we have an applicant, I send the application. I have a quick call with them to make sure we submit that to know it's it's sent correctly. If we need to revise, we can revise. But at least I've had that call to go over it with them to make sure all their services are accurately represented before we quote.
I love that. I love that. All right. Let's see. Lydia, you're next. What's your advice?
You know, it's pretty similar. Educate yourself. Education is so key to just knowing what you're doing, you know, really commit yourself to that industry and learning what it's about. Get out to some conferences, you know, network within the industry. Again, associations, super important. I would say get involved in those. Try to stay involved if you can, you know, shout out PIAC and Brian Bernier and everybody in that team over there in Colorado. They were really so important and just supportive as far as, you know, just where, you know, my growth, my my own personal growth and helping to understand the industry and understand, you know, insurance in general so that I can, like Crystal said, just be more value to the clients and to the people that we're serving.
100% agree. All right, Ryan, give us the words of wisdom that's going to close the show out. I know you got them, man.
So back in, we were having this conversation at a fall conference back in 2015 in New Orleans, I think it was. Spencer Holden was on the panel, and they were talking about niches. And I'll always remember this because his niche is high-value homes, high-value customers. That was his niche. Still is today, I would assume. He always said, and it was the most brilliant thing I've ever heard, but it's so simple. If you're going to niche, whether it's personal line, whether it's construction, whether it's transportation, whether it's beauty, whatever that is, niche. Immerse yourself in that industry. Understand the forms, the endorsements, what you're insuring, but niche. Don't kind of niche. Don't kind of do construction and then do a bunch of oil and gas. Because if you do that, then are you really a niche? Or is your niche just a generalist? So if you really, truly want a niche and you're coming from the beauty industry, niche in the beauty. If you're coming from a construction industry, niche in construction. That's the best piece of advice I have ever heard on niche-focused business.
Go all in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, do it.
Yep.
I love that. Thank you guys so much for joining us and sharing your stories and your experiences. I feel like the listeners will have learned so much, and hopefully they will consider jumping in and diving into a niche of their own. And thank you, listeners, for tuning into this edition of Agency Nation Radio, powered by the Big I and Trusted Choice. If you have enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you hit that subscribe button and give us 5 stars or leave us a review. And if you have a story for Agency Nation Radio, contact us at hello@agencynation.com. Thanks so much, everyone.